the global cosmetics market, its size is estimated to be over $500 billion, which includes cosmetics, fragrances, personal care, and skincare. And of that, the color cosmetics is of particular interest, as next to fragrances, has one of the highest margins on its products. The cosmetic market makes up a fifth of that at around $100 billion in 2022. But while many businesses enter the color cosmetics market hoping to cash in on its high margins, the entire industry is littered with corpses. As while it's pretty on the outside, the cosmetics business is one of the most cutthroat industries out there. I'm Christy Ai and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today, we're going to be going behind the curtains of the color cosmetics and makeup industry to see what is the cost of beauty. The cosmetics business is an extremely lucrative field with an average gross margin of 50% depending on if they are direct to consumers or go through a wholesaler. There are three primary areas, including product development, which can run anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000 for a single product. These costs include anything related to creating a product, such as raw material costs, packaging, and labeling. It also includes the cost of production activities, such as mixing the materials together and filling them. Most outsource to a manufacturer, which has a capacity to conduct testing and a setup based on FDA guidelines. Recipes are usually developed by a cosmetic formulator, which can run anywhere between $500 to $25,000, depending on the chemist and the formulation requirements desired. In the US, there are no specific laws about the type of testing you must do, but there is one overriding law, which is it is illegal to sell unsafe products. So you must be able to prove that your products are safe and effective. Things like microbial testing, stability testing for shelf life, safety and sensitivity testing, etc. And these tests, on average, will cost about $8,000 for a single product. And then there's marketing and sales, which, thanks to today's social media environment, can start cheap at $500. Running an online store also has very low initial cost, and online promotion can be done for next to nothing. And finally, there are business expenses, which varies but at least $2,000. And this include product distribution, fulfilling orders, etc. And while having an online store is great, there's the cost of boxes for shipping and labor to fill the orders and shipping costs. So let's take a look at lipstick, one of the most expensive products to manufacture. It costs between $2.50 to $3 for most brands to manufacture lipstick. But prices are not static and can change from batch to batch depending on the price of raw materials. Pigment can be very expensive and vary between colors by as much as 50 cents a unit. Making lotions and other creams are cheaper than lipstick because there's less labor involved. A lipstick requires more elaborate machinery and hot pour via an expensive mold. The mold, which can be customized, can range anywhere between $10,000 to $15,000. However, the real cost is the packaging. Brands pay for the lipstick base and the cap separately, which costs between 30 to 60 cents for each tube half. Decorations, logos, and other accents and designs increase that cost. And many industries have what's known as a keystone markup approach, which is simply two times the cost of a product, or a 50% markup, which becomes the wholesale price. But then further downstream, retail markup for cosmetics is usually about 5 to 6 times the cost to manufacture to ensure that both the retailer and the brand make a profit. However, premium and luxury cosmetics may be marketed up by up to 10 times the factory cost, and the consumer in the end usually pays 10 times or more the actual production cost of cosmetics. The reason for this is because these beauty conglomerates are in the lifestyle and brand business. Because cosmetics are so cheap to make, they use this as an opportunity to make 90% profit on the markup they sell in order to subsidize the rest of the business. So that lipstick you're buying is actually paying for everything from expensive brand campaigns to unprofitable designer clothes. So now let's bring in Delphine Horvath, professor for the Fashion Institute of Technology. So now, which country consumes the most makeup products?
Currently, the US is the number one country for makeup, followed by China, Japan, India, and the UK. However, China is expected to become the largest market for cosmetics in just a few years.
And what do you make of all the celebrity makeup brands that are coming out now? Are they just jumping on the hype train, or do you think the market is oversaturated?
Celebrities, makeup brands such as Fenty Beauty, Kylie Cosmetics, or Huda Beauty have a strong competitive advantage. They connect with their millions of followers at a much deeper level than heritage brands. And it's an opportunity, as you mentioned, for many other celebrities to launch their beauty brands. In the meantime, the market is saturated with thousands of new players entering the market every year. And consumers are more and more educated. They are not fooled by celebrity endorsement when celebrities just put their name on the products. So to appeal to consumers, brands need to resonate with their values, be authentic and transparent, tell a compelling story, advocate for positive change, such as Rihanna with Fenty Beauty and her inclusive shade range of foundation. So the success of a celebrity brand depends on who is behind the brand, the level of involvement of the celebrity, of course, the quality and performance of the products, and the values and ethics of the brand and celebrity.
What percentage of the cosmetics market is makeup, and what makes up the rest of it?
Color cosmetics represents about 15% of the beauty and personal care market. The beauty and personal care market has a global size of over $500 billion and is segmented into five categories. The color cosmetics, so that includes the makeup for face, eyes, lips, and nails. Second, skincare with face, body, and sun. Third, hair care with hair products. Four, hygiene and personal care, like shower, deodorant, oral care, shaving, and then five, fragrance. And among all these categories, the highest growth potential is actually for the cosmetics category.
And in what country is makeup market growing the fastest? And what is contributing to this uptick in interest?
So Africa and Asia are considered as the two fastest growing regions in the world. The region of North Asia is currently the leading cosmetics market worldwide, thanks to the high growth of cosmetics in China, who will become the number one player by 2026. And in Africa, Nigeria, which is currently the largest beauty market, the cosmetics category is expected to show the fastest growth within the next few years, over 200% within 5 years. So non-Western beauty cultures are becoming more influential. Consumers beyond North America and Europe are reshaping the beauty market according to their own culture, their own image and preferences. Diversity and inclusivity has become the norm within the global cosmetics market.
Thank you so much, Professor Delphine Horvath, but please stick around. Professor Delphine will be joining us right after the break, and when we come back, we will analyze what countries and cultures spend their hard-earned cash in cosmetics. We'll have more after the break.
We need to counter the Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi, c'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Accused Trump of being engaged with various foreign corruption scams, and now it's coming out that the Biden family was taking money from almost anybody around the world to line their pockets. The Democrats accused Trump of various sexual misconduct. There's all kinds of allegations circulating Biden concerning that and concerning far worse misconduct. So I think what you see is a lot of confession through projection. What they accuse Trump of is what they themselves are guilty of.
We're just at a very, very precarious moment in human history.
Против России, против наших союзников, так называемый коллективный Запад не стесняется в средствах, использует историю как самостоятельный театр военных действий.
История Украины. 22 июня обозначено как начало немецко-советской войны. Парад во Львове в честь создания дивизии Ваффен-СС «Галичина».
То, что сейчас происходит на Украине, это уроки Геббельса.
Third Reich ideology has returned, this time in Ukraine. Genocide of civilians, militarization of society and an ultra-nationalist state policy. Decades later, history is repeating itself. And let's not forget that 80 years ago, the Soviet Union defeated Nazism at the cost of an enormous number of casualties.
There's a reason why the Soviets lost 27 million and the US lost 310,000 in combat, and the Brits about the same number. The Soviets were doing most of the fighting and most of the dying. If the UK and France had signed an agreement with the Soviet Union, they could have stopped Hitler.
Welcome back to The Cost of Everything. The cosmetics industry is one of the most valuable markets in the world. And on average, Americans spend between $244 to $313 on cosmetics every month. And within that group, Hispanics and African American consumers have a track record of far outspending other ethnic groups when it comes to beauty and personal care. Hispanic consumers and Latina women are the most likely demographic to use makeup. The number is more than 86% across all age groups as it relates to a cultural point of view about femininity and dressing up. Hispanic consumers spend 13% more than the average consumer on beauty and personal care. And this group is 1.4 times more likely to buy lip cosmetic than any other segment. Black women use hair products more frequently and also spend more than the other Americans on cosmetics. Black women spend an estimated $7.5 billion annually on beauty products, which is twice as much as non-Black women. And in recent years, with a sharp rise in Black-owned beauty brands, African Americans are expected to purchase more products to support their social justice causes. Outside of America, Arab countries in the Middle East regions are currently one of the fastest-growing beauty markets, with increased consumption of cosmetics. The top three highest selling cosmetics are perfume, makeup, and targeted skincare products. And this is because wearing makeup is a big part of Arab culture despite restrictions around dressing in public. In Arab culture, women need to hide almost their entire body in public, but women still want to look special, and wearing makeup is the way to do so. And while China is always pointed to as the world's biggest consumer, it is not the case when it comes to cosmetics. The total per capita annual spending on cosmetics in China was around $38, with more money going towards skincare and very little going to perfumes, which is the complete opposite of the Middle East. And while there are thousands of makeup brands that currently exist and new brand launches every year, the industry is actually a lot smaller than you think. There are three dominant players in the makeup industry: L'Oreal, Estee Lauder, and Shiseido. Even all the celebrity makeup brands that everybody knows about, Kylie Cosmetics by the Kardashians, Fenty Beauty by Rihanna, most of them are owned by conglomerates. Kylie Cosmetics was sold to Coty Inc., which also owns Bourjois, KKW Beauty, Max Factor, OPI Products, Rimmel, Wella, Sally Hansen, amongst others. Fenty Beauty launched under LVMH's beauty incubator Kendo, which creates products to be owned by Sephora, who is also owned by LVMH. LVMH is also the parent company of L'Oreal, who also owns Shu Uemura, NYX, Maybelline, IT Cosmetics, Urban Decay, Kiehl's, Lancome, YSL Beauty, and more. L'Oreal remains the top player in the beauty industry with nearly $11 billion more in sales than Estee Lauder and Shiseido. In 2022, the global cosmetics market experienced over 16% growth in comparison to previous years, with skincare and makeup leading the categories. And while the next time you go into Sephora thinking that there are so many brands and so much variety, know that most of them are actually owned by Shiseido. Shiseido owns Clé de Peau with their famous concealer, Drunk Elephant, the new millennial skincare brand, NARS, the old makeup favorite, Serge Lutin, and more. It also recently sold off Bare Minerals, Buxom Cosmetics, and Laura Mercier. And for more, let's bring in again Delphine Horvath, professor at the Fashion Institute of Technology. So, Professor, can any of the indie makeup brands compete with the bigger behemoths of the industry when their margins are so much lower?
Even if the beauty market is still dominated by the top global beauty companies, L'Oreal, Unilever, Estée Lauder, P&G, Shiseido, indie brands are competing with the big heritage brands. And even if their margins are much lower, they often seem much more authentic and transparent than big brands. They are also much more agile in the way they innovate and they promote their new product.
There's a huge amount of interest going to organic or natural clean makeup. Is clean makeup actually good for you, or is all this just marketing language?
Clean beauty does not have a standard definition or clear regulatory guidelines. It's perceived differently by consumers, and spontaneously, ingredients come on top of their mind with safety and transparency. So clean beauty has three pillars. First, good for you, the safety of the product, the impact on human health. Second, good for others, so it's ethical and support local populations with corporate social responsibility initiatives. And third, good for the environment with sustainability, climate commitment. Does the product protect the planet and the oceans? For the past years, many brands and beauty retailers as well, Sephora, Ulta, Target, many of them, have gradually restricted or excluded some ingredients from their product portfolio. These blacklists of unwanted ingredients are typically not compiled using scientific, safety, or legal principles, but rather are established from public sources focusing on social media, consumer, and branding aspects. These lists do not reflect only what ingredients are unsafe, but rather what ingredients consumers have been taught to avoid despite any safety records that may exist. Unlike many consumers could believe, natural doesn't mean clean. Not all natural ingredients are safe. some can actually be very toxic. So science and transparency should be at the heart of clean beauty, and ideally we should have a harmonized definition of clean beauty.
And how does Western makeup usage and pricing compare with Asian makeup? And why is makeup so much cheaper in Asia, like China, Korea, and Japan?
Since the COVID outbreak, consumers in Asia have more sophisticated needs when it comes to facial makeup. For example, foundation that does not transfer to face mask and face powder with anti-acne properties or with skincare functions to nourish and moisturize the skin. Of course, the skin lightening claim remains a strong claim for cosmetics and skincare products in Asia, much more than in the Western countries. In Asia, regarding the price, in Asia, makeup can be manufactured in a more cost-effective way with reduced labor and overhead costs. Local manufacturers are very good at shortening the product life cycle and launching new products in very large quantities in a short period of time compared with established international brands. For example, local brands in Asia are able to launch new products in 3 to 6 months, while it will take 18 months to 2 years for a Western brand to launch a new product on the market.
Is high-end makeup just a branding gimmick, or is there a real substantial difference between high-end makeup and foundation and your average $20 foundation?
So it can be the same, or there can be a real difference. The cost of goods for beauty products can vary greatly and are significantly impacted by the quality of the ingredients and the raw materials, the type of packaging, the complexity, the primary and the secondary packaging, and whether the manufacturing process takes place in-house or is outsourced by the brand.
Many brands claim that they have proprietary IP on their makeup products, especially foundation, but most of production is all done in the same facility. So is there any real difference between the formulas, or is the makeup really just a branding game?
So for nail polish, a supplier may offer a dozen standard formulas to choose from for the brands. And these formulas can be customized or personalized. The brand then can select the type of resin. For example, if they want a biosourced resin with biosourced ingredients, or if they want to add some specific ingredients. So depending on the product and the raw materials used, there can be a difference between the formula.
Thank you so much, Professor Delphine, for joining us today. The winners in the cosmetics industry is actually both the consumers and the manufacturers. Because the business is so lucrative, the industry is extremely competitive and changes rapidly to meet the consumer's demands. Thus, it is a very consumer-driven industry, and the voices of consumers are heard and met. Fenty Beauty by Rihanna changed the game by opening with a legendary 40-shade foundation range that included shades for everyone, sending the message of inclusiveness and diversity. And with the rise of BLM, Black-owned beauty brands are in the spotlight. Manufacturers also win because of the current environment that is very much consumer social media driven. Thanks to the rise of TikTok and YouTube, makeup tutorials and influencers posting their Get Ready With Me videos featuring all their favorite products are everywhere. And these mini campaigns spread awareness and also teach consumers so that more people are willing to buy and experiment and try new makeup products than ever before. 20 years ago, makeup application knowledge was limited, and it was an industry that mainly serviced entertainers and professional makeup artists. Now, with the dissemination of knowledge, people as young as 8 years old have begun to explore the world of makeup without being intimidated. I'm Christy Eye. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.